This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. First of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the opportunity to come here and gather for His sake. Subhanallah, it's a huge ni'mah, it's a huge blessing. And subhanAllah, you don't realize how much we're in need for it until you're deprived of it. Like, I know many sisters, they traveled overseas, they missed these lessons, subhanAllah. We are very, very blessed to be able to have this place where we gather for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be on this path, inshallah, until we meet with Him, bi'idhnillah. So, dear sisters, inshallah, my topic that I want to speak to you about today is about how we need to learn to count our blessings before we're called to account for those blessings. And I'm going to first of all go through one of the surahs, you know, in the Quran, which Allah Ta'ala reminds us of how we need to be paying more attention to our blessings and how every single blessing Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, Allah's going to question us about that blessing. Like, there's no blessing that Allah gives you except that you're accountable for that blessing. So this surah that I'm going to speak about today, first of all, is Surah At-Takathur. Surah At-Takathur. So Allah Ta'ala, after Al-Basmala, He says, Al-Hakum At-Takathur. Al-Hakum At-Takathur. So Allah Ta'ala in this verse is saying that this competing with one another, and this trying to do out one another with the things of this world has made you distracted. It's made you distracted. It's taken you away from ta'atillah, from the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, and from the dhikr of Allah, and from remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is how this dunya is. The majority of the people, what is their greatest concern? It's not the akhirah. It's not the akhirah, it's not striving for the next life. Rather, their greatest concern is who has the most money, who has the best furniture, who has the best house, who has the best car, who has the best marriage, the best husband. You know, and these days, this is one of the greatest fitin for us. It's one of the greatest trials for us, because in the past, you weren't so as exposed to people's lives as we are now. Now, you sit down, you open up your phone, You get images on social media, whether it's Snapchat, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook. Everyone's got a happy face. Everyone's having a beautiful life. You know, they're with their husband in total love. You know, they drive an awesome car. They have a beautiful house with the best furniture. There's no such thing as struggling with your debts and struggling with your bills and having arguments with your husband and going through depression. That's all, yani, that doesn't exist. There's no such thing as disability or handicapped people or people, you know, facing death any moment, subhanAllah. So we're living in an unrealistic world. It's an unrealistic world. It's just an illusion. Our lives have become an illusion, subhanAllah. And this is what's making us have a great sense of ungratefulness, unfortunately, as well. Because of this, because we're living in a false sense of reality. We're thinking that everybody out there has got the best life, but it's only me. I'm suffering. I don't have what other people have, and I'm deprived. You know, subhanAllah. So this is what, yani. But the point here about this surah, sisters, is that Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that the way of this dunya is people are always trying to outdo each other. Whether it's outdo each other with their businesses, whether it's outdo each other with their money, whether it's outdo each other with their looks. Like, look at sisters now. You know, they're all competing. Who can have, you know, they get all these crazy things done to themselves. You know what I mean? SubhanAllah, like, we are so overtaken with trying to outdo each other. It made us distracted from what is the most important thing we should be focused on, which is striving for Allah and the next life, because this life is going. This life is coming to an end. SubhanAllah, this is what, unfortunately, all of these distractions are making us forget about that. And so this disease, basically, of competing and trying to outdo each other, this is exactly the same disease of one of the companions of the two gardens, which Allah mentions in Surah Al-Kahf, where that companion, that disbelieving companion, says to the believing companion that ana aktharu minka malan wa azzu nafara, that verily I have more money, I have more possessions, I'm better off than you, and therefore I am a higher status than you. People, whenever Allah opens up the blessings for them, not only does it cause them to forget about striving for the akhirah, but it makes them become proud of themselves. And that's where it becomes dangerous. They become stuck up. And we'll get to that. We'll come back to that, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala says, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. You will keep on being like this, in this competing with each other, trying to outdo each other, until حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ, until you visit the graves. You'll keep going like that until you reach your grave. You know, subhanAllah, so it's not until you reach your gani, you'll keep going like that even until your last moments. You'll be if you've got that type of disease, may Allah protect us from it, you'll keep going like that until the next thing you know, you'll find yourself in your grave. And the interesting point we should mention here as well, Allah Ta'ala, He mentions zurtumul maqabir. He doesn't say you stay there. He says you visit the grave, because the grave is not the ultimate abode. And that's why, sisters, you have to be very careful when you speak about someone who's passed away. You should never say he's gone to his final resting place. It's not correct Islamically to say that. It's against our aqidah to say that somebody has gone to their final resting place, because that's not your final resting place. We know that we will be resurrected from that grave and will be called to account on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So, we shouldn't use this expression of saying the final resting place, because in a way it's denying al-ba'th. It's denying the resurrection on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Okay, so Allah Ta'ala says, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Verily, you will know. Soon you'll know. Soon you will know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Soon you will know. Soon you will know. When you go to the next life, it means when you go to the next life, that's when you'll know that all of what you were doing was pointless. All of what you were caring about was completely pointless. What was the use of all of that? What benefit did it bring you having a better car than someone else? Or having better furniture? Where's that furniture now? Where's that? You know, where's all that you were trying to compete for? Where is all that now? What use of that is that for you now on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala is going to call you to account for all that you had? So whatever you have, like, the more you have in this dunya, the more accountable you become for it. So you remember that. You might wish to have all those things, but remember that with every extra blessing you're given, that's greater accountability for you as well on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So don't wish for something that might be a greater trial for you. SubhanAllah. You don't know that. And definitely we always know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah has chosen for us, we have to believe in our hearts that Allah knows best. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Verily, you may hate something, but Allah knows that it's good for you. And verily, you may love something, Allah knows it's bad for you. Allah knows that had He given you that thing, it would have taken you away from Allah. It would have taken you away from the path of the Akhirah. That's why Allah did not give you that particular thing you wished for. So don't, Gani, always, of course, no harm in making dua for what you want, but don't be upset if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give it to you, because it's a very good reason. And remember that Allah is more loving and more kind to you than your own mother. Allah is more loving and more kind to you than your own mother. And just like your mother, like when you were little, I want to ask you something. Most of you got kids. When your kid gets a knife and wants to go and play an electric PowerPoint because he wants to have fun playing an electric PowerPoint, do you let him, because you say, oh, poor thing, let him have fun playing an electric PowerPoint? Or do you take him away because your rahmah, your mercy, you want to move him away from electric PowerPoint to save him, right? And your kid probably thinks, what a mean mum. She doesn't let me play in electric PowerPoint, you know? And he, maybe he starts crying, feels like he's mazlum, he's oppressed because you wouldn't let him play in electric PowerPoint. But if you think about it, when you let him madal a'la to Allah as a higher example, that's basically what we do. We think that this is good for us, we want it, then when Allah doesn't give it to us, we start to cry, we think we're oppressed, we're, you know, we're deprived. But if we really knew what's behind the veil, we would have known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting us from something we can't see. You know, subhanAllah, that's what we have to always remind ourselves, subhanAllah. So Allah ta'ala says, Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. So, and as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he says about these verses, that that's when they'll realize the consequence of that takathur, that consequence of trying to outdo one another for the things of this dunya, that Allah's gonna ask them about all of those things that they were competing with. He's gonna ask them about all of that. So if you didn't use it for Allah and for the sake of Allah and for His obedience, subhanAllah, it's gonna be a trial for you. And in another narration as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about Bani Adam, he says about the son of Adam, that the son of Adam always says, mali, mali, my money, like we never feel we've got enough money. It's always about money. It's always about possessions, you know? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and what is his possessions? What is his money except that which he eats, like you, the, what you buy with your money and you eat it so it becomes vanished, or you buy clothes with it and the clothes get worn out, or you spend it in sadaqah and so it's kept for you until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the last part of your money is just left for the inheritors. So really, the only money you take with you for the akhirah is what you put in sadaqah. That's the only thing that's saved for you. So if you haven't used what Allah gave you for the akhirah, then basically it's a waste. All that you were rivaling with each other with was just a big waste. And to something interesting that the scholars mentioned as well about these ayat, they said, Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. That the ulama said, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to repeat this ayah twice to emphasize? They said, Wallahu ta'ala alam, one of the reasons, they said that the first realization you'll get is when you go to your grave. That's when you'll realize that all this competing was just a big waste of time. The second time is on Yawm al-Qiyamah. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. That's when you'll realize. SubhanAllah. He says here, subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. If only you knew with certain knowledge, you wouldn't have been engaging in this. Like if someone really had strong knowledge of their deen and, you know, and had that realization, you know, the reality of this world, the reality of this life, then they wouldn't have fallen into this error. They wouldn't have fallen into this mistake and this misguidance. But the reality is most of us, may Allah keep us steadfast, we don't have that ilm al-yaqeen. We don't have that real knowledge. We get in a state of ghafla. We get in a state of heedlessness and forgetfulness. And we forget about what is the reality of this life. Then Allah Ta'ala, He's warning us, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, that verily you will see al-jahim, you will see the hellfire, may Allah protect us. Like, wake up, the hellfire is close. You know, subhanAllah, if you continue this path, realize that the hellfire is close and that wallahi, you will certainly see it with your eyes. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about how the hellfire will be brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's a very terrifying scene. Imagine that the hellfire is brought on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and because of the huge size of it, it's dragged by 70,000 chains. And on each of those 70,000 chains is 70,000 malaika. And only Allah knows how huge are those malaika. So we have to realize, wa'udhu billah, and The scary part about the hellfire, my dear sisters, is that it's going to be so full in the end that it's going to be like bursting, may Allah protect us, from how many would be placed into it, may Allah protect us. So that's what Allah's warning us. Well, this is from the rahm of Allah. Allah, from His mercy, He warned us about the reality of the Akhirah. He could have just left us to all become misguided and to go straight into it. But subhanAllah, from His mercy, He's warning us, beware. This is what is there if you're not careful. SubhanAllah. So then he says, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. When you see that hellfire, that's when you'll know عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ is different from عِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ. Okay, عِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ means you just know about something. Like you read the Quran, you knew about it, you read the ahadith, you knew about it from what the Prophet ﷺ told us, right? But عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ is when you actually see it with your eyes. Okay, so when you see the reality, that's when you'll really know. Okay, so then Allah Ta'ala, He says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you will be questioned on that day about an-na'im, on all of the blessings that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blessed you with in this world. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you read his ahadith, if you read his seerah as well, he taught us how to be grateful for even the smallest blessings. And that's what we miss today. In this first world, we, like our problems that we complain about, subhanAllah, as they say, the first world problems. Like, I know, I'm guilty of it too. You know, your mobile breaks down, your life has fallen apart. Like, that's the kind of problems we have, you know, subhanAllah. Yet, people in third world countries might have to walk, you know, 10 kilometers or more to get some water just to drink. And we're complaining about my mobile, I've only got version 4, I don't have 6S yet, and I can't afford the 7, I'm so deprived. You know, that's the kind of problems, may Allah protect us, we complain about, may Allah forgive us, right? Okay, so I want to give you I love this hadith when I read it, subhanAllah, I'm going to give you a hadith to show you how much the Prophet ﷺ taught us to be grateful for even the smallest things. And if we start to implement this in our life, wallahi, you'll see how much more happy you'll be, inshallah. So subhanAllah, one time, and imagine this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen, the best from amongst creation, that one time he came out of his house and he found Abu Bakr and Umar outside. And he said to Abu Bakr and Umar, what brought you out of your houses? They said, wallahi ya Rasulullah, nothing except hunger. When you are so hungry, none of us have gone through this. I'm definitely sure that nobody in this room has ever gone through severe hunger to the point you can't even sleep. You can't even rest because you're so hungry. But this is the Messenger of Allah. He went through these kind of hardships. Okay? So he came out and they said, it's only hunger, Ya Rasulullah. Like, they don't want to complain, but because he asked, that's why they said. And then he said to them, wallahi, by the one in whose hand is my life, nothing brought me outside of my house except what brought you outside of your house. That it's also the extreme hunger, that's what brought me out of my house. So he said, come with me. So they went to one of the Ansar, you know, the Ansar in Medina, the pious believers in Medina. So he came to one of the Ansar and, you know, he told them about that situation, like, did you have anything in your house to eat? In those times, they had nothing in their houses to eat. Nothing. You know, and these, you know, imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming to you, you know, and you want to give something. You know, so he goes to his wife, there's nothing, but she's still saying marhaban ahlan, you know, she wants to receive them. You know, subhanAllah, like, they were ready to give anything. They were ready to give anything. Even though they had for themselves, they would deprive themselves for others. That was a sacrifice of the Sahaba Ridwan alayhim. You know, subhanAllah. So anyway, the man, because he has nothing in the house, he goes and he gets a branch from a date palm. He cuts a date palm branch that has some dates different, like some fresh, some a bit dry, and that's what he presents. And then he goes, he picks up a knife, and he goes because he has some sheep. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, but don't slaughter a sheep that has, that gives milk, because that's a waste, you know, because if a sheep gives milk, then you'll be deprived of the milk. So he slaughtered a sheep with him, he brought it. And so he, you know, he, this is how he entertained the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. And so they ate, alhamdulillah, they felt, you know, comfortable after that severe hunger. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to Abu Bakr and Umar and he said, Wallahi, la tus'alunna an hadha an-na'im yawm al-qiyamah. Wallahi, you'll be asked about this na'im on yawm al-qiyamah. You'll be asked about this blessing on the day of resurrection. And he said, cool shade and fresh dates and cold water. You'll be asked about that. You know, don't you find that scary that every single day, there's not a day that goes by except we eat to our satisfaction. In fact, we have such problems in this first world countries. We're all suffering from overeating, subhanAllah. You know, so our problems are never about starvation. But we eat our full every single day and we don't even appreciate, we don't even thank Allah, we don't even feel grateful for this situation. We live in beautiful comfort, like we have nice cold houses to go back to, you know, we have air conditioners, we have heaters, we have all this, you know, luxuries, you know, to make us feel comfortable. That's why so many people, when they go on Hajj, they can't even handle it. It's only a few days. But the ladies are all complaining, oh my God, my mattress is too hard, and why doesn't the air conditioner work better? And everyone's complaining, they can't even handle, like, because we are so pampered. We are so pampered that the minute anything becomes a bit hard, it's like we can't even handle it. SubhanAllah, but here is the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him that even just you get to eat a date once a day, you'd be grateful for it. Even you get to drink water, like we open our tap, just like that, we drink water. That's why we take it for granted. We don't even remember to say alhamdulillah when we take a drink of water, because what's water? I want Fanta, I want Pepsi. I don't want water. Even your kids, probably they say that. Like if you say, have a drink of water, water? You know, subhanAllah. In some countries, they go to get their water. Go look at the well they have to get the water from. It's not even clear. It's black. And they're happy. They're very happy. They have this brown water to drink. They're very happy. You wouldn't even want to take one sip from that water. SubhanAllah. So this is how the Prophet ﷺ was teaching us to be grateful for even the smallest things. And if we really implemented this in our lives, I'm telling you, sisters, we would be so much happier. But we're always, you know, we're always not appreciating what we have enough. And that's what makes us fall into that ungratefulness, subhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also told us that that's, you know, there's so many blessings we're going to be questioned about. And I'm going to spend a bit of the time in the lesson today talking about some of these blessings we're going to be questioned about. But one of the blessings the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about as well, he said, there's two blessings that many people do not pay attention to. Like you don't realize they're blessings. One of them is health and one of them is free time. You know, so many times we don't realize health, as they say, is absolutely wealth. Go see when you can't, when the minute you get sick and you realize what is the value of health. Like alhamdulillah, I was off for over a month, but I spent a week in hospital before that having an operation, alhamdulillah. But you know, the people I shared a ward with, they taught me a lot of lessons. I shared a ward with ladies, young ladies who, you know, they're suffering from breast cancer. I shared a ward with, you know, people with bowel cancer, like because I was in the surgical ward, you know. So, and subhanAllah, that's when you realize the price of wealth, the price of health. It's not something health is not something that you would ever trade for $1 billion. If someone was to say to you, you know, tr- trade me one of your eyes, even. Trade me your eye. Let me show you. Like, we don't realize that we are actually billionaires. Actually, we're more than billionaires. We are actually more than billionaires walking on this earth. You know why? Because if someone was to say to you, give me, can I have one of your eyes? I'll buy your eye for $1 billion. $1 billion. You wouldn't give your eye for $1 billion, would you? There's no way. Even $1 billion, you would not give your eye. So that shows you just an eye is worth more than $1 billion. So what about the rest of your body? What about your health? SubhanAllah, like so many people, I know people who can't even come to this lesson because they can't even walk. They have to stay in a bed. They can't come to a lesson. Maybe some of them, they can't even sit up. SubhanAllah. So this is, we don't reflect on this because, like, you know the problem? The reality of this world is being hidden from us. We go on social media, we're seeing all the healthy people, the happy people, they've got everything. You're not seeing all the disabled people, the sick people, the dying people. And you don't realize how blessed you truly are that you're able to get out of bed in the morning, you're able to get dressed, you're able to get out, and you're able to go to a lesson. That's a huge ni'mah. That's a huge blessing, subhanAllah. So health and free time, these are huge blessings. But I'm going to move on now and talk about four particular blessings that Allah Ta'ala is going to ask us about on the Day of Resurrection. So Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. That a person's foot will not move until they're asked about four things. There's four particular things that Allah Ta'ala is gonna, four particular blessings that Allah Ta'ala is gonna ask us about on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The first one is your life and how you spent it, and your body and what you did with it, and your knowledge and what you also did with it, and your money, how you earned it and how you spent it. This is what you're gonna be asked about. These four blessings you're gonna be asked about. And let's look at the first blessing, first of all. So your life, the years that you got to live, that is a huge blessing. You're gonna be asked about that. And we need to learn to take, this is a capital. Your life is actually a capital, right? And a lot of people don't realize that. Okay, your life is a capital and you need to learn to take this capital and invest it to make a profit for your akhirah. That's what it basically comes down to. Investing your capital so that you make a profit for the akhirah, right? Don't waste it. If you waste this life, then there's nothing left. And Allah Ta'ala reminds us over and over again in the Quran, but from the ayat, he says, أَفَحَسِبَتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think that we created you with no purpose and that you wouldn't come back to us? فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. May Allah be exalted that He would have created you with no purpose. You weren't here just to live your life aimlessly, you know, eating, drinking, enjoying yourself, and there's not an aim from all this creation. Like, Allah creates all this, seven heavens, the universe, the stars, the planets, everything's in order. Even I was reading recently, look at the sun and the moon, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed them in the universe, so they're almost similar in size. Meanwhile, the moon is 400 times less than the sun, you know, but Allah also brought it 400 times closer to the earth, so that when you look at it, the sun is approximately, when you look at it, it's in proportion. Like, Allah could have made this massive, massive moon, or He could have made a massive, massive sun, a little tiny, weeny moon. You know, subhanAllah, everything would have been unbalanced on earth. So do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went to, like, He did all this design of this world and the way that everything works together in your body and in the world, it's all abatha, it's all just for no reason, no purpose. So realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us this life just to waste our time in it, just to spend our time enjoying ourselves, and we don't use this capital that Allah has given us to invest for the next life. And instead of doing that, we end up even using this life for ma'asiyah, for disobedience, for sins, living a life away from Allah, away from His obedience. You know, subhanAllah. So we have to always remind ourselves that this life is so short. And I'm sure most of you can see how fast the days go. Like, here we are, it's September 2018. We're almost going to go into 2019 before you know it. And you see your kids growing up so fast. SubhanAllah. So, and the next thing you know, sisters, life has come to an end and you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's questioning you about how you spent this life. That's why Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he used to say, O son of Adam, you are just like a number of days. You, your body, or yourself, your life, is just like a number of days. If one day passes by, part of you also passes away with it. Just one day passes by, part of you, yourself, actually passes away. Until eventually you pass away. Until eventually the time comes when you pass away. And that's why also he used to say too that there is no day in which the sun comes up except that day calls out and says, O son of Adam, I am a new creation and I'm a witness to your deeds. So make use of me, for I will not return until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So every day that comes, we have to try to fill it with a'mal al-salihat, with the righteous deeds, because every single one of these days will come as a witness for us in Yawm al-Qiyamah. SubhanAllah. May Allah help us, give us barakah in our lives, and help us to, you know, invest for our akhirah. Always paying attention. May our main focus to invest for the akhirah, inshallah. So this is the first of these, blessings that Allah Ta'ala is going to question us about. And then we come to the second of these, which is how Allah Ta'ala is going to ask us about our body. Our body and what we did with our body. Allah Ta'ala, He says in His book, He says in the Quran, إِنَّ السَّمَّ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. That verily the sight and the hearing and the heart, all of that will be questioned. So your heart will be questioned. You know, Allah, we have to remember, He's always looking at our hearts. How do we respond to different situations? Allah, may Allah protect us and may Allah forgive us. He sees the ungratefulness that comes in our hearts. He sees that. Like, you might be able to hide it from others, but Allah sees that. And that's why, even if we find that coming in our heart, we should say astaghfirullah and ask Allah to take it out of our heart, you know, subhanAllah. But Allah is going to question us about our aqidah. He's going to question us about our belief in Him, our tawheed, our singling out Allah alone in worship and believing in Him alone. So is that heart full of love for Allah and for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or was that heart full of love for others besides Allah? Were your concern more about the people and about others besides Allah? May Allah protect us. And then your ears will be questioned. The person's ears will be questioned. What did you use to listen to? How did you use those ears? Allah gave you this huge blessing of ears. How did you use this blessing? Did you listen, you know, to things that Allah forbade? Like, you listen to gossip all the time. You listen to music. You listen to backbiting. Like, that's how you use these ears. You're not scared that at that moment when you're engaging those ears that Allah blessed you with, that Allah could just snatch that hearing away from you. SubhanAllah. If Allah wants, He can remove that blessing at any moment. We should be scared. Same thing with our eyes. You know, now eyes are, you know, eyes get tested very much these days. Like with the internet, it's yes, it can be used for so much good, but people, may Allah protect us, use it for also so much evil. There's so much evil on there. If you're really looking for it, it is a slippery slope that leads straight to the Jahannam, wa'udhu billah. Definitely it leads straight to the Jahannam. A slippery slope, because once a person gets themselves used to it, they don't know how to get out of it. And it's just dragging them down to the hellfire, may Allah protect us. So now this is a big fitna, and especially I'd say more for men than women. Much more for men than women. And we see so many, they're falling into this. It's very clear that they become addicted, for example, to pornography, Male Protect Us. And so this is the diseases. And we have to realize that everything your eye looks at has an effect on the heart. Everything your eye looks at, everything your ear listens to, it has an effect on your heart. So you can see how the sins easily build up on the heart. And over time, if someone's not paying attention to that, if they're not asking Allah for forgiveness, if they're not trying to stay away and guard their sight from haram and guard their ears from haram, over time, the heart gets blackness in it. Until it could reach the stage where they no longer care about the halal and haram anymore. There are plenty of people going down that path these days, may Allah protect us, where they become so desensitized, they don't even feel the difference between halal and haram. They don't even care if they eat the haram, or if they look at the haram, they don't care. You know, yani, when they see halal and haram, it's like, it's the same. They don't even care about it anymore. They can't distinguish. That shows there's a sickness in the heart. So we have to realize that the eyes will be questioned. Imagine the embarrassment. You come on Yawm al-Qiyamah and Allah says to you, Abdi, oh my slave, I gave you these eyes while so many others were deprived. So many others were not given these eyes. What did you do with those eyes? Imagine the embarrassment, because nothing is hidden from Allah. Allah has recorded everything you looked at. So imagine the embarrassment, you know, when your book is opened. You looked at this on this day. You looked at that sight. You looked at that man with lust. You looked at, yani, whatever. You looked at that, those haram things you wanted to look at. How embarrassing in front of Allah that He blessed you with that and that's what you were doing. And you can't hide from Allah, yani. So it's a very embarrassing moment. And we have to realize that Allah is going to ask us about everything, every part of our bodies, that whatever we did with it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question us about it. Even the scary part is a person's body will bear witness against them. Like especially the kuffar, especially the disbelievers, their body will actually speak against them. Because you won't have control over yourself. On the day of resurrection, you won't have control over yourself. So even if a person wants to hide what they've been doing, they'll find their hands and their legs start to testify against them. Like Allah will allow their hands and feet to actually speak and testify against them. Like Allah says, Al-Yawma naqtimu ala afwahihim. On the day when we will seal their mouths, wa tukallimu aydihim wa tashhadu arjulahum bima kanu yaksibun. That their hands and their feet will be allowed to speak, and they will say where they used to go. Did your hands and your, like, where did you used to take your body? Did you take your body to the masjid? Did you used to take your body to halaqat al-ilm, to the gatherings of knowledge, to the gatherings of Quran and dhikr of Allah? Or did you used to take your body to the haram places? Like, I've heard some very shocking stories. Like, I deal with sisters all the time in their problems. I hear shocking stories. May Allah protect us, especially poor sisters going through problems with their husbands. You know, Male Protectors, and some of these husbands, like, you could find a man, Male Protectors, he's got a beard, he looks so good on the outside, but then you find out he goes to clubs and stuff like that behind the scenes. So, you know, subhanAllah, like, so Allah knows. You can hide from the people, but Allah knows what you do in your secret life. And you can't hide from Allah. These things will be, you know, you'll find your body testifying against you on that day. So this is something we have to take into consideration, my dear sisters. We have to realize, we have to ask ourselves, what do we used to use our body for? You know, our tongue as well. What did you used to use this tongue for? Some people can't even move their tongue. Some people can't even speak. So what did you use your tongue for? Did you use it for gossiping? Did you used to hurt people with your tongue? Did you used to hurt people? Did you cause pain in other people's hearts from this tongue? Or did you use it to try to bring comfort to other people's hearts and try to cheer people up with your tongue and to do dhikr of Allah with your tongue and to recite the Quran and to say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar as much as you can? Don't sit in silence, my dear sisters. Silence is not from the sunnah. Silence is not from the sunnah. You know when you sit in silence? You start to think too much. And then shaitan comes to you. And then you start thinking about your past, all the things that make you hurt from the past. You start worrying about the future, all the things that might happen, and all the catastrophes that might happen. Instead of sitting there in silence, my dear sisters, sit there and say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Try to use this tongue so that inshallah you come on your qiyamah with something to put in your scales, something heavy for your scales, inshallah. And this will benefit you too, because when you say Astaghfirullah, it is a release from every hardship. Like Astaghfirullah is a way to get released from your problems. If you have problems, saying Astaghfirullah is a way out from those problems. So don't just sit there thinking about your problems. Say Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Inshallah, Allah will bring you out of that problem through the virtue of your saying Astaghfirullah. Okay, then we come to the third thing that Allah Ta'ala is going to ask us about on Yom Qiyamah, and that is your knowledge. What do you do with this knowledge? Like, we find the majority of people are not interested in seeking knowledge of their deen. Like Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنَ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. That they know all about the things of this world, but when it comes to the Akhirah, they are very, like, heedless. Like, subhanAllah, we are so blessed in Sydney. Wallahi, sisters, we are so blessed in Sydney. We have so many classes available, but go look at those classes, you'll find they're very, very, yani, hardly anybody comes. I have sisters talking to me from Canada. They can't believe what we have here. And I have people on the internet, every time I put a lesson up, they say, oh, can you please record it? I can't always record my lessons. It's hard for me to always record it, and I can't, you know, I have to also sometimes edit things. But, you know, people, other sisters are deprived. They don't have what we have. Like, many countries, you can't come together as sisters and have a class like this, you know. Some countries, as you know, they don't even have a place in the masjid for the sisters. You know, some, like say Pakistan, India, I know, they don't have any place. Like, you can't even go to the masjid to pray. They don't even have a men's area. There's nothing for the women. So we don't realize what we have in Australia. Like, I've never gone, alhamdulillah, in Australia, I've never gone to one mosque that I didn't have a sister's section, you know, that I could pray in. Alhamdulillah, you know, in a Sydney. I don't know about other places. I've always mainly been in Sydney. So that's why we hear people, you know, complaining on the internet. We have no idea, like, that's why I find that the sisters here in general are more settled down, I find, in Sydney, because we haven't had to go through all these hardships. But those sisters who've gone through that, you can find them that they're going, like, it's disturbing them in their deen now. It's going to the level where it's disturbing them in their deen because they've been shut out too long from everything. So it's causing problems. But going back to what I was saying, so we have so many lessons available, but how many people take advantage of those lessons? You know, in the meantime, if we open up something about how to make money, if I was to make a lesson about how can I make money, or how can I open a business, or how can I, you know, anything to do with how can I make my child smart, I tell you, if I made a lesson about how to make your child smart, how to make your child into an engineer or a doctor or I don't know what, you'll find it's going to be full. And people will be coming, you've never seen their faces before. SubhanAllah, isn't it the truth? You know, I remember there was a special in Greenacre, Hijab House or something. I don't even know the shop. But they said the line was going down the street. I said, you're late. It happened to me in my lessons that it was down the street, people lining up to come to hear the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when it comes to a special, like, how much were you hoping to save? You know, like, wow, you got a hijab for free. I don't know. You know, like, and what we're giving here is something better than everything in this dunya, wallahi. What we're offering in these lessons, we're giving people something better than everything in this dunya, but people do not appreciate it. To them, it's less than a hijab. That's the sad part, isn't it? It's worth less. Like, sitting here for an hour to most people is worth less than just to get a hijab for free. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So that shows the priority. So, you know, Allah's going to question us about our knowledge. Did you go seek knowledge of your deen, or were you just always focused on seeking knowledge of your dunya? And then when you got that knowledge, What did you do with that knowledge? Did you share that knowledge with others? Did you try and do dawah? Did you try and open up people's hearts with that knowledge? You know, try to spread knowledge. Try to awaken the hearts with that knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about this knowledge. Did you act upon this knowledge yourself? You know, we can't just go and preach to others and we don't act upon it ourselves. You know, the most successful in the dawah is the one who puts it into action first. Like, so many, may Allah protect us from that, you know? But realize the strongest message is from the people who ensure they try their best to implement in their lives. You know yourself, like, you know the catastrophic effect it has on you when someone who's been known for spreading knowledge, and may Allah keep us firm and steadfast, you know, when we hear these big shocking stories about, for example, they're involved with girls or God knows what, you know, or ripping off people with their money, stuff like that, when it comes out, it shakes a lot of people in their faith. Because you imagine this person with all this knowledge that they were practicing that knowledge, but then you find out, may Allah protect us, that actually they were very corrupt and maybe they're using the deen just to, you know, to rip people off and to, you know, get girls. Allahu alam. You know, it's very scary. But, you know, but that's the scary part about this knowledge. It has, you know, that knowledge, again, like we said before, that every blessing Allah gives you, there's also accountability. Your accountability is going to be more. But that's why Allah Ta'ala also reprimands us in the Quran. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Why do you say that which you don't do? Kabara maqtan inda Allahi. And تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It's most detested to Allah that you say what you don't do. So that's why whatever you say, you try your best, you ask Allah to help you to implement it. And ultimately, the more you try to implement it, the more people see you acting upon your word. You need to be a person of, you know, you need to be a person of action, not just a person of words. That's why the Prophet ﷺ had the greatest effect on the hearts. Why did all the closest people to him become Muslim and believe? And why did he have such an effect on their hearts? Because he was a man who walked the talk. He walked the talk. He wasn't just a man of words. I mean, what shows you that is when he left this life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of his wives, his close companions, they were the highest level in as believers, praying at night, fasting by day, giving sadaqah for the sake of Allah. They never gave up on that path of sacrifice. If they thought that the Messenger of Allah was just, you know, a man of words, not a man of action, the minute he passed away, they would have just all gone back and they would have said, oh, he's gone now, let's just do whatever we want now. But the fact that you see the impact he had on them, that he, because of how much he was a man of action, that shook their hearts to the level that they tried to, you know, live that high level that he lived. So this is very important, inshallah. All right. And just before I finish this point, the one thing that Allah never commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for anything from this dunya. Nothing. He never told him to ask for anything from this dunya, from this world, except for one thing. There's only one thing he told him to ask from the things of this world. And that is, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Because knowledge of the deen, it can only increase a person in every good. It opens a door to every good. SubhanAllah. So that's why, my dear sisters, realize that always try to stay on this path. People always asking me, I feel doubtful in my religion right now. I'm having a lot of, you know, I'm feeling weak. I ask them, do you go to lessons? Do you go and seek knowledge about your religion? They tell me no. I said, well, this is subhanAllah, this is step one. This is a very important step. I've always seen a difference between the sisters who constantly stick to lessons, even if it's hard for them. You know, you've got to make time, you've got to make it a priority. You know, they've got kids. Like, I've got, mashallah, tabarakallah, one of my students, she's been with me for, I think, almost 10 years. She has now, tabarakallah, she's going for her 10th child. Don't tell me you haven't got time for ilm. SubhanAllah, if you really want it from your heart, Allah will find a way for you. That's the reality. And Allah says, قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. Are those who have knowledge the same as those who don't have knowledge? They're not the same. Your life will not be the same. It's a different effect when you seek knowledge. It opens up every khair for you in this life. But if you don't have that, then don't expect too much. SubhanAllah. So then, moving on quickly, I'm going to finish off this. Then we come to the last of these things which Allah Ta'ala is going to ask us about. And that is your money. Allah Ta'ala is going to ask us about our wealth. About how did you make this money? How did you earn this money? And what did you spend your money on? Okay? And Allah tells us in the Quran, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. That money, wealth, and children, they are the adornments of this world. Like everybody wishes for those things in particular. Everybody wants possessions and money and wealth. And everybody wants children. It's just something yani normal. But we have to realize as well that these things come with their test. You know, whenever Allah gives you something, realize when Allah gives you a blessing, that Allah is also testing you with that blessing. So Allah is going to ask us about how we got that money. Did you get that money through cheating and oppressing others? Like, it's sad that a lot of people now, the deen is only for the masjid. What I mean by that is, they come to the prayer, they pray in the masjid, but then they go to their business and they rip off their Muslim brothers and sisters. They rip them off, they cheat them to get money, you know? And you'll find even some businesses try to compete with each other, and if one of them is better, they'll try to do something to harm because they're jealous. They don't want the other one's business to be better than their business. So they try to cause harm. Maybe they even just speaking badly, they want to put that business down so no one will go to them. You know, but besides that, they try to sometimes steal the secrets. I've heard terrible stories of Muslims where, you know, one of them will try to learn the secrets of that business. Then they go, they take those secrets, they go and they make their own business, they compete, like a lot of things like this. You know, Allah's gonna ask us about how we got our money. How did you get that money? Through cheating, through, you know, deception, through fraud, through lying, through riba, through interest. Like, Allah's gonna ask us about how we got this money. If it's not halal, you were selling haram things, like, it's sad, you know. I remember, I mean, alhamdulillah, I think things are a bit better now, especially in this area. You get some parents, they're so happy when their son is a drug dealer and gets the money to buy their house for them or to send them to Hajj. They're just happy with the money. They're proud. Oh, look at my son. I've got lots of money from my son. But where did your son get the money from? Aren't you scared from Allah that the lives that this son is destroying through selling drugs? That's what you should be scared about. That you're taking the money from this man who is destroying people's lives through those drugs. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So Allah's going to ask us about our money. And then, what did you do with that money? Allah gave you that blessing of money. How did you spend that money? Like, did you spend it to earn the pleasure of Allah? You know, to spend your money for sadaqah, for charity, for orphanages, for wells, for ongoing charities. Like Allama Barak, a lot of you probably saw my Facebook page. I put up, you know, Ali Banat, may Allah accept his deeds. I mean, subhanAllah, he's put his money towards building villages and wells and, subhanAllah, spreading Islam, spreading the da'wah. Like, you know, about, I think they said 36 different villages now accepted Islam. And, you know, they're providing hospitals. And so this is an ongoing charity for him. May Allah accept it from him. And may Allah help us, inshallah, to lead this life with many ongoing charities for us that will benefit us. Because as you know, I'm going to finish the lesson now. As you know, my dearest sisters, we're not going to take anything from this dunya except for three things. Except for three things. Okay? So what is it? The sadaqah jariyah, the ongoing charity, and the knowledge that you shared and the waladun salih, the righteous child that make dua for you. The righteous child that make dua for you. So focus on also bringing up your children to be upon the straight path. They are also a blessing if you're questioned about. You're not going to be asked, what kind of profession did your son or daughter become? That's not, who cares on your maqiyama? You're not going to care, was your son a doctor or he was a garbage collector? Wallahi, you're not going to care. What you're going to care about at that moment was my son or my daughter waladun salih. Were they a righteous child that when they make dua for me, I raise in ranks in the Jannah? That's what you're going to be caring about on your qiyamah. So don't fall into this mindset that people are falling into these days. It's a sickness, competing, you know, whose son is better than who's smarter than who got the higher test than who. I mean, Allah understand, you're not going to care about that on your qiyamah, subhanAllah. So we'll leave it there, my dearest sisters. There's a lot more to say on this subject, but all I want to, the end result of this whole lesson, to sum it up, is to always remember to count your blessings. Start to pay more attention to your blessings, and also remember that every blessing that you have in your life, whether it's in your body or your house or your children, your family, all of that you'll be questioned about, subhanAllah. And with every extra blessing we have, we become more and more accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us have grateful hearts for everything that He's bestowed upon us. And I ask Allah ta'ala to help us to use our blessings to strive for His sake. And I ask Him to help us to earn al-Jannah and to unite us all in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la with the prophets and messengers and with the Siddiqeen, the truthful believers, and the Salihin and the Shuhada. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.